So in some ways, today's gospel is a continuation from last week's gospel because Jesus is speaking to the same audience. He's speaking to the chief priests and the elders. And if we just think for a moment about what's happening in this chapter of Matthew's gospel, we're towards the end of the gospel. It's Matthew chapter 21, so we're getting closer to the Passion. Jesus has just entered Jerusalem. And so there's this conflict between Jesus and the chief priests and the elders. Why? Because, well, Jesus is teaching with authority. And the chief priests and the elders have the authority. So there's a conflict here. And also Jesus is very popular with the crowds too. So there's probably a little bit of jealousy mixed up in there as well. So like last week's parable, Jesus addresses today's parable to these religious leaders of Israel. And then next week, we'll hear the third and final parable that he tells them. So today's parable features one of my favorite things, a vineyard, a landowner who builds this vineyard. And Jesus gives us some of the details about the construction of this vineyard that's kind of interesting. He doesn't just say he built a vineyard, but he tells us that he put a hedge around it, which would have protected the vineyard from foraging animals. He puts a wine press in it, so it's not like they have to do the grape stomp, like at Crow River, where people step on the grapes to get the juice out. No, this is like a modern thing that he's installing here. It would have been very expensive. The latest in technology, first century technology. And then he builds a tower so that someone's on the watch, which is pretty amazing. I don't know many vineyards that have a tower constructed so that 24 hours a day someone's watching what's happening. But that's the care with which the landowner builds this vineyard. And then the landowner entrusts the vineyard to tenants who are going to take care of it in his absence. Eventually, he'll send his own servants to collect the fruit. So it's helpful for us to know that this is an allegory. There are the characters of the parable represent specific people and groups of people. So the landowner represents God. The vineyard represents God's holy people, Israel. The tenants are the chief priests and the elders. So this is kind of interesting because they themselves are characters unwittingly in the story that Jesus is telling. The landowner's servants are the prophets that God sends over time to Israel who are usually mistreated, abused, killed. And then the son, of course, represents Jesus. So one of the things that we notice in this parable is that Jesus is predicting his own death, and he's telling the chief priests and the elders that they're going to be responsible for his death because they're the ones who are going to hand him over to be arrested. There's another thing I think is important about this parable, and that's this image of the vineyard and where it comes from. The vineyard, as we heard in today's responsorial psalm, was often used as a symbol of Israel. And probably the most important example of this in the Old Testament is actually from the first reading that we heard today, from Isaiah, who gives a very similar story. So I'm just going to read the first part of the story, and you'll hear the similarities between Israel's parable of the vineyard and Jesus's parable of the vineyard. The prophet says, "My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spaded it, cleared it of stones, planted the choicest vines. Within it, he built a watchtower and hewed out a wine press." So, obvious similarities here. And then Isaiah continues, "Then he looks for his crop of grapes, but what it yielded was wild grapes." So up until then, the two passages are very similar. So Jesus takes a little different route by predicting his own passion and death. But I think the point of this parable is really interesting, because the landowner, who represents God, plants this vineyard and he takes care of it. And how good care of it he takes. I mean, if you're a farmer or a gardener, you can appreciate the attention to detail here as we hear how the landowner spades the land, he picks rocks out of it, and then he plants the best vines, the expensive ones. And then he protects it with a watchtower and builds a wine press. And then he waits for the fruit. And then what does he get? He doesn't get supple, choice grapes, but he gets like the grapes that you find out in the grove that are clinging to trees. And they look like they might be good, but then when you bite into them, so sour. The birds don't even want those. They're wild grapes. They're worth nothing. So it's good for us to think about what's the point here. And the point is that in the story in Isaiah, Isaiah's talking about how God has blessed his people so much and taken so good care of them. And what are some of the ways that God has taken care of his people, Israel? Well, he gives Israel the commandments through Moses. And he dwells with them in the Ark of the Covenant. And then Solomon builds a temple for the Ark of the Covenant to be placed. And now people have a centralized location to come and worship. And God gives them the way that they should worship and give him right praise. And he sends them prophets who are going to try to protect the people by preaching the truth to them. And so this is all we have for centuries, is God's generosity to his people. And what does his people yield? Not good grapes, but sour grapes. So we can relate this now back to Jesus' parable, because using this parable, Jesus is saying the same thing to the chief priests and elders. Here I am, the Son, coming to reap the harvest, and you're just a bunch of sour grapes, is one thing that Jesus is saying. You know, I just want to draw, I've been thinking about this week, I just want to draw our attention to this image of Jesus debating the chief priests and the elders. Often the chief priests and the elders are spoken of along with the Pharisees and the scribes. So this religious class of people, and these are the people who would have studied the scriptures, that part which we know as the Old Testament today. They would have studied that intensely. They would have been the ones who knew God's word, and at synagogue and in the temple, they would have been teaching the people the word, and it was their responsibility to interpret the scriptures and to apply it to their own lives and to apply it to others' lives. I mean, their lives were completely invested in God's word. And then when the word shows up, they don't know him. They don't recognize him. The one who had been foreshadowed for 2,000 years in the scriptures, pointed to at various times through the prophets and all the way since the beginning of the creation, God was giving foreshadowings that he was going to send his son to save his people who were lost through sin. And so these people had studied that for all this time, yet when the word shows up, they don't recognize him. And not only are they, it'd be one thing if they were merely indifferent to him, but they hate him. The Savior shows up, and the religious authorities don't want anything to do with him. In fact, want to see him eliminated. This gives me great pause as a religious authority. The last thing that I would want is to preach Jesus every day and then not recognize him when he shows up. You know, there's that parable that Jesus tells in the Gospels that I find terrifying, and that's the parable of these people who show up. It's the parable of the handmaidens who are waiting the return of the Messiah, and some of them have their lamps lit and others don't have their lamps lit, and so then the ones who don't have their lamps lit, when the bridegroom comes, they have to run and light their lamps, and it's a big oversight on their part, and then so they come back and the bridegroom's already arrived and everybody's inside and the door's locked, and so these ladies are knocking on the door, "Let us in, let us in." And the bridegroom, who's Jesus, says, "I don't know who you are." And they said, "Yes, you do." And he said, I do not know who you are. So will I recognize Jesus? Will he recognize me? That weighs very heavily upon me. And should for all of us. Because this parable, now on the one hand, it's easy for us to be judgmental towards the chief priests and the elders who didn't recognize Jesus. But how many times is this worked out in our own personal lives where Jesus shows up in our life and we miss him completely? Even if we think just on a religious level. So we mentioned that to Israel, God gave the commandments, the words of the scriptures, the prophets, the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, the way to worship. And at the end of today's parable, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." And this happens. So those chief priests and elders who represent the religious authorities of Israel reject Jesus. And so the church is born, not through those religious authorities, but through the poor and humble followers of Jesus, through fishermen, through a tax collector, through a young woman named Mary who said yes to God's will and gave birth to Jesus. It was the poor and humble of Israel who accepted and recognized Jesus, not the ones who were supposed to recognize him. So clearly we want to be the ones who recognize Jesus. And it seems that our readings are telling us that part of this is recognizing the ways that God has blessed us and bearing and receiving that and bearing fruit for God. So even in the church, the new Israel, the new people of God, how has God blessed his church? By spading it, picking out the rocks, putting up the watchtower, building the wine press. And how has he done that for us? Well, he gives us the scriptures. He gives us the sacraments. What do we believe about the sacraments? But that Jesus himself is there to encounter us. So much grace God gives to us so generously, and how do we respond? How do we respond personally? That's the most important question for us, but look at the response of Catholics in general when, prior to COVID, 70% of Catholics stay home on Sundays. When God gives us himself in the Eucharist, himself, his own body and blood. So we're the people who don't recognize him when he comes. We're the ones who don't bear fruit as a church. So how, brothers and sisters, do we bear fruit as the church? Well, each one of us individually, living in our lives, the gospel, not the gospel as we want it to be, which is the problem with the chief priests and the elders. They wanted to interpret God on their own terms, not on the way that God had given himself to them. We can do the same thing when we want to receive the faith on our own terms and decide ourselves what's true and not receive from God what's true. So in our own lives, brothers and sisters, let's take this gospel message seriously. I need to. I don't want to be a religious authority who doesn't even recognize Jesus when he shows up. But I don't want you to not recognize him either. So let's receive deeply the heritage that we've received through the church, through her teachings, through her sacraments, through the scriptures. Let's receive them and ask that the Lord would bear fruit in us through them, so that we're not wild sour grapes, but we're the supple choice grapes that God is looking for.